Hello and welcome to Skywatch TV. I'm Joe Artis Horn. Here we are 2 years after the arrival of the coronavirus pandemic. And in its wake, doctors are now discovering more than 200 associated symptoms and climbing in people who have recovered from the virus, but who have gone on to experience lingering and often anomalistic side effects like brain fog, fatigue, cardiovascular conditions, blood clots, neurological deterioration, secondary onset autoimmune disease, and so much more. What is behind what scientists and doctors are now referring to as long COVID? And is there anything that you can do to raise your defenses against it? If you or someone you love is experiencing bizarre post-COVID health conditions, are there ways to recover? I recently had the opportunity to join Daniel Belt of Eden's Essentials on the set of our Return to Eden program to discuss the answers to these questions and more. Please join us for the next couple of weeks while we share groundbreaking scientific information designed to help you better understand some of the root causes of long COVID, how to lower your personal risks of long-standing viral damage in general while increasing your personal recovery times. Ladies and gentlemen, here is part one of our two-part special report on viral immunity. Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to this special presentation on long COVID and viral defense in general. I'm Joe Artis Horn, and I'm joined in the studio today by my good friend and partner over at EdensEssentials.com, Mr. Daniel Belt.
Hey, Joe. It's great to be here.
I'm so glad you're here. The conversation around long COVID is so vast that collapsing it down to just a short forum conversation proved to be a very difficult challenge. So in the spirit of keeping this information relatable, we're going to go through what the basics of long COVID are, and then we're going to go over some basic fundamental things that people can do proactively with their health.
Yeah, this is really an exciting time. I'm excited that you've decided to do this because, as you know, for the last couple of years, I've just been deep into the studies and evidence that already exists. There's a lot, so much to unpack here, and that this is going to produce a lot of future content that we're going to help deliver to the people that can
have no idea.
I know.
So first, what is long COVID? And for those that have heard that expression, or maybe you know somebody in your family that doctors have said is experiencing long COVID after something like hard COVID, really difficult, severe COVID. Common symptoms now that are being associated by long COVID are shortness of breath, cognitive dysfunction, which most people describe, Daniel, as brain fog. Mm-hmm. That is a big one. We're hearing a lot of people coming out of hard COVID with this lingering brain fog. What is that about? Well, I'm here to tell you that 2 years post into COVID, okay, doctors have now quantified and have been able to organize more than 200 symptoms now and climbing that have been reported in patients who have experienced this hard COVID. And again, we're going to get into maybe just a little teaser as to why the symptoms seem so vast. If it's just a virus on its face, why is this one so uniquely capable of doing so much long-term damage? So I want to talk about medical whack-a-mole or symptom chase. So let's say you're a practitioner, Daniel. Somebody comes to you and they say, I've got thyroid issues, I've got hormonal imbalances, I started having chest pains, I'm on blood pressure medications now, blah, 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 beta blockers. And you say, well, none of this existed pre-COVID. You could spend the rest of your professional career giving them supplements to support those particular functions of the body, right? Mm-hmm. But if you don't address the underlying root cause, if you don't go in and scrape out what might be residues from the virus that we're going to talk about in just a second, you're only stamping down side effects. You're symptom chasing, and you want to dig deep enough to find the root causes of the problems. And we're going to talk, because we've got to get into this, we're going to talk about the, I keep calling it the big three. There's three parts to what I believe personally is guilty of the vast majority of all of these ripple effect, side effect, whack-a-mole, symptom chase, manifestations in this system, manifestations in cognitive, manifestations in thyroid, manifestations in digestion. First, you've probably heard somebody in your proxy or somebody on the news talk about a spike protein. We're going to talk about spike proteins. We're going to talk about cytokine storm. And then we're going to talk about microclotting. Because I think if you were to blunt those three fronts, the vast swath of people that then go on to endure these long, severe cases of COVID, I think their outcomes would look a lot different. Does that make sense? So we're just going to spend some time today focused on those three things. First, what is a spike protein? A spike protein is a glycoprotein that protrudes from the exterior envelope of some viruses like coronavirus, and it helps facilitate the entry of the virion, which is a complete virus particle, into a host cell by binding to a receptor on the surface of the host cell, followed by the fusion of both the viral and host cell membranes. So what does that mean? Well, kind of like a key, how a key fits into a lock, these spike proteins fuse to receptors on the surface of the cells and then allow the virus's genetic code to invade the host cell, take over its mechanical purpose, and then replicate. And then in the case, of course, of COVID, this happens very effectively. And this is one of the chief complaints from people who experience, in particular, hard COVID, because their immune system simply cannot create enough healthy cells to outpace the rate of viral replication. Is this making sense? Many people will feel subtle onset fatigue when these spike proteins begin to build. They'll go from having what was what they would have described as a reasonable afternoon or a normal day, maybe felt a little off, and then within a few hours, it's the body pains, it's the deep pains into the hips, it's the beginning of migraines, it's the joint pain, it's the fevers. The body knows that something is going on, and it's not keeping up with the viral replication. Is that making sense? So that's a very basic overview of what a spike protein is and how it helps the infection outpace the immune system very effectively. Does that make sense? But we're going to talk now briefly about another portion of the assault that's going on inside the body. And then we're going to talk about the what to do's to blunt this trifecta of damage that the body is dealing with. You may have also heard somebody talk about what is called a cytokine storm. What is a cytokine storm? Now, this is another one of those things that people maybe have heard in media. They've heard news outlets talking about it. Maybe somebody in their proxy at work. Well, first of all, don't be afraid of cytokines. Okay, because when they're used by the body in normal proportion, they're actually serving a helpful and beneficial function. So don't be afraid of cytokines. The word itself is not evil. Cytokines are a normal part of chemistry that play a critical role in actually activating, you know, our body's immune system response. But a cytokine storm is an overreaction of your immune system to something it senses as threatening. During this immune system response, your body releases too many small proteins and or molecules, aka cytokines, that activate other immune cells. These molecules begin to promote inflammation and then begin to overstimulate the activity of other cells. Is this making sense? So when too many cytokines are released, this is where the cause for alarm kicks in. It leads to overactivation of other immune system cells like T cells, which again are very good for you. But when the information being given to the cell, it becomes confused because of the overload, they become confused about what is healthy cell from what is infected cell. And it's kind of like sending, you know, 20,000 soldiers in to do a job when you need 500 specialists, and the 20,000 that you've sent in got really poor instructions, and they're just kind of shooting at everything. Does that make sense? That's an oversimplification.
Sure.
But to draw on a cartoon-esque analogy to give you a word picture, that's essentially what's happening. It's the uncontrolled activity of these cytokines that lead to things like tissue damage, organ dysfunction, and, of course, even death. So that's just an overview of a cytokine storm. Again, this is an oversimplification, but for the sake of time and keeping the information relatable, we're going to table that and come back to that in just a second. But finally, I want to add one more part to this trifecta of stuff that the body is dealing with, and that is you hearing doctors and scientists now talk about the post-COVID, especially in severe cases, and then long COVID, the microclotting that takes place during infection and then post-infection as a result of the two latter things that we just talked about, in my opinion, the spike protein damage, the cytokine, the over-replication of T cells. The body is shooting at everything. It's developing autoimmunity because the immune system is just absolutely going berserk because of the viral load. microclotting. So what is microclotting? According to findings made by Professor Rizia Pretorius, a researcher in the Department of Physiological Science at Stellenbosch University, when she started looking into microclots, they started to see this pattern of damage in people dealing with severe COVID. And she started to look at microclots and their molecular content in blood samples from individuals with long COVID. The findings have since been peer-reviewed and published in the journal Cardiovascular Diabetology in August of 2021. And I want to read some of this because I think it's very fascinating, and it also indicates another layer of the damage the body is undergoing with severe COVID. But her research reveals that an overload of various inflammatory molecules literally trapped, these are her words, literally trapped inside insoluble microscopic blood clots, microclots, might be the cause of some of the lingering symptoms experienced by individuals with long COVID. And so now we're starting to kind of pre-tease some of what might be behind thrombosis, cardiovascular disease, the sudden onset of vascular deterioration, and some of the stuff that, you know, like ischemic stroke, the stuff that's really, really life-threatening 3 to 6 months post-COVID, 1 year later, people with no pre-existing cardiovascular disease who go through long COVID and now develop these things. Is this making sense?
Yeah.
So why does being able to break down, Daniel, blood clots matter to your health? Well, clots can cause all kinds of life-threatening conditions, events like strokes, which we mentioned just a moment ago, restricted blood flow in the lungs, which is really bad news, impairing oxygen exchange, fatigue, shortness of breath, chest pain, cognitive problems, heart palpitations, insomnia, tinnitus, joint pain, and even death. We've just started to scratch the surface, but we are also trying desperately to keep this information relatable.
Yeah.
Because the target audience here is not a medical journal consumer. The target audience is for your average everyday consumer that's just overwhelmed by all this. And even if they've read an article on something like a microclotting, maybe a lot of the verbiage just didn't land on them. And they certainly wouldn't know what to do prophylactically or even in post of long COVID in terms of cleaning the body out of these spike proteins. Mm-hmm. I want to throw out there very quickly, you might be watching this thinking, okay, so the damage is happening during the virus, and then this long cascade of health challenges is all the post-aftermath of an event that's finished, though, right?
Right.
That's where the rabbit hole deepens. Yeah. Unfortunately, the residues of things like microclotting can be quantified into the weeks and months following your severe battle with COVID, and this is where some of those cardiovascular issues seem to be dormant and then suddenly reveal themselves.
Yeah.
And the same could be said about the cytokine damage, the hormonal balance. 6 months later, you've got hyperthyroid. So there are studies now, though, where doctors have quantified these spike protein particles still in the bloodstream of long COVID sufferers up to a year after they've recovered. Now,
that we know of.
That we know of, and we're only 2 years post-COVID.
Yeah.
Do you see a pattern here?
Absolutely.
This screams, we cannot afford, by the way, to accept the status quo narrative. Daniel, you and I are a big fan of not accepting the status quo narrative, most often in how things are treated in Western medicine in terms of the care that's given.
Yeah.
But also the entire conversation seems to be, when you look at the status quo, and you can read this for yourself if you think I'm making this up, there is no cure. There is no treatment.
Right.
There is nothing that we can do. And yet, many, many peer-reviewed case studies that are self-evident, if you just go look, show over and over and over again that that is demonstrably false.
Yeah, it's overwhelmingly
false. It's overwhelmingly
false. It's unbelievable how many studies existed that already knew that these problems were coming down the pipe.
So what to do? If you're a person who is suspicious, you've got anomalous health struggles since COVID, even if they're not severe, but you just feel, man, fatigue is a big one. The mitochondrial system, these are the cells that basically represent the battery systems of your body, are completely wiped out and depleted. And unlike the common cold or a virus that a person gets over and then they bounce back 48 hours later, they're feeling on top of the world, COVID is very good at leaving residues, leaving people affected, leaving them different than they were before. Mm-hmm. And I hope that this presentation is explaining to you some of what may be going on in your body. Now, to clean up, to start getting rid of spike protein stored in the bloodstream, to get rid of and rebuild the hormones that might be out of balance, in addition to living a prophylactic life, walking around, first of all, not encouraging disease, which is a whole other conversation. But, you know, basically living a life anti-autoimmune, you know, where you minimize sugars. First of all, you cut out all processed sugars.
Foods,
if you get a naturally occurring sugar in something like a blueberry for cognitive function, okay, in proportion, those are healthy ways to get glucose into the bloodstream. You're talking about, you know, no more gluten. Let's get rid of nasty carbs. You know, capillaries start to atrophy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sedentary lifestyle, one of the first things that goes is the extremities, the capillaries, the network that takes blood and oxygen throughout
and
the
delivers
body.
It.
Starts withering. Well, he doesn't need any of this network anymore because he doesn't use it.
And we just can't do that anymore as much as we want. We certainly don't want to tell anybody what to do, but we want to bring to light these facts. It is that way. It is how well they are nourished. It is the condition of their lifestyle. Health is about lifestyle.
Right.
And everything else are the tools that we apply to it, which is what we're trying to do. And we're going to come out with studies and information about this, about why physical activity matters, why nutrition matters, and the avoidance of these processed sugars and stuff like that.
Because I'm big with stories and analogies that maybe stick with people, but a word picture just popped into my head. To walk around in life without nutritional reserves, things like zinc, which we're going to talk about in just a moment, would be like running around in your car with about 5% of the gas left in the tank, and instead of filling the tank ever, you run around with it at about 5%, okay? Knowing that at any time without your consent, you might be forced on a 50-mile drive.
Yeah.
Does that help?
Yeah.
If you walk around without nutritional reserves in your body, you have no margin wherein to start reacting to a severe chronic infection or a viral overload, and now you're playing makeup. Now you're rushing to a bunch of supplements or you're rushing off to the doctor, whatever. But by that time, much of these things are in full tornado mode.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, and for the times greatly leading up to a point where you'd get COVID, the condition has already degraded your capacity to fight these infections, to have strong metabolic cardiovascular disease. And then this is really intrinsic and really important. A lot of these functions cannot occur without these things.
That's right.
Like literally cannot happen. If you don't have certain function areas, these are literally like fuel or like oil. It will seize up and simply will not occur without them.
Let's get on to some of the what to do, because I think this segues with the point you're making right now. You're talking about some of these functions literally cannot occur without the fuel.
Right.
Zinc. Let's just go right after zinc, Daniel. It's a very important trace mineral. It is responsible for innumerable functions and processes in the body. You need zinc in your system all the time anyway, just for things like hormone. Men with testosterone, zinc is so imperative. We don't get hardly anything adequate in the standard American diet, the SAD diet, right? So you need to be proactive with some of this stuff to make sure that you have your nutritional reserves where they want to live. But what a lot of people may not know is, in addition to the hormone productions and the neuronetworking within the body, zinc is also imperative to activating these healthy T cells that fight against infection. Oh, it's absolutely hand in hand. T cells are also known as our lymphocytes. And without those, it's game over when it comes to things like infection. And there's a million other things we could talk about with zinc, and zinc's in particular, literal marriage, hand-in-hand friendship with T-cell production. But I want to read a couple of very interesting points of data for you. According to the International Zinc Association, quote, reduced levels of zinc are linked to weakened T-cells that are unable to effectively neutralize threats and infections, while increases in zinc can help fight infections, including diarrhea, pneumonia, and the common cold, unquote. And I of course, would add to that COVID, every other virus. Anything relative to the immune system where T cells or NK cells, your natural killer cells, come into play. A study published in 2011 in the Journal of Experimental Medicine found that increased zinc with an extracellular fluid was able to increase the growth and multiplication of T cells. And another study published in 2010 in the European Journal of Immunology had similar findings and noted that increased zinc is required for both the proliferation and the signaling of T cells. But this is, Daniel, this goes to the heart of what we're talking about. Several clinical studies have been conducted on zinc and its effectiveness against COVID-19, documenting that patients hospitalized with more severe infection generally had lower levels of zinc present in their bodies than of those who had more mild symptoms and higher levels of zinc. A clinical study was published in December of 2011 by Antonio M. Gordon and several other researchers at the Department of Internal Medicine, University Healthcare, Hialeah, Florida, that evaluated the effectiveness of zinc supplementation in the prevention and mitigation of COVID-19 in two similar participant groups. All participants were compared based on demographics, clinical comorbidities, blood counts, renal functions, vitamin D levels, and their development of systematic COVID-19 infection. So they basically took people and performed a clinical study, and they tried to quantify people of similar age, similar glucose levels, you know, cofactors, comorbidities, diabetes, heart condition, and they divided them into two equal groups. Now, this was fascinating. Are you ready for this? The findings were mind-boggling and revealed that the 104 patients who did not take the zinc were more than 7 times more likely to develop systematic COVID-19 infection compared to those taking the zinc. The conclusion to the study states, and I quote, "Zinc is a relatively inexpensive mineral nutrient that is an effective prophylactic agent to prevent and mitigate the potential deadly symptomatic SARS coronavirus 2 infection. As the COVID-19 pandemic continues in some regions and the continued emergence of dangerously infectious variants of SARS coronavirus 2, it is important to replicate our data in other populations and locations and to engage public health and nutrition services on the emergent need to use zinc supplementation or fortification of staple foods in the prevention and mitigation of COVID-19 infection severity," unquote. And I'm not mocking anyone,
no,
but when the status quo says there's nothing that can be done, we're to wait and see if our health is restored organically or naturally over time, you know, give it a couple of years and see how you do. There are peer-reviewed studies like this that go on all day, all day, all day. Daniel, you know this.
Yeah, no.
In the lead-up to just today's presentation, I've spent the last 30 days in and around all the other hats that I wear, cherry-picking.
Yeah.
Picking and choosing what bits of data would I share. It's overwhelming.
Yeah. It literally is clownish how much data there is as opposed to what policy and messaging have been. This is why we have to step in with a new level of education to help people understand that these things are clearly self-evident. And plus the other thing is that we're talking about the severe effects of long COVID, but that is really downstream. When you start out at the head of the game, being well-nourished, being active in things that revolve around lifestyle, the downstream effects of all these things are a lot less. So you're talking about money. You're talking about your money, hospitalizations, your possible very severe memory issues. So hard to know how this is going to turn out downstream for people that already are have these proclivities for other diseases, neurological, cardiovascular, and metabolic.
There's a guy out there by the name of Diamond Dallas Page, and he is a former professional wrestler. And when I was a kid, I was big into wrestling, and I have long since put a couple of decades for me actively watching it because I just don't have time and whatever. But he said something a couple of weeks ago that I've said in other words but never as concise. He says something very close to this. I'm paraphrasing, but he basically said, if you don't make time for your health, your illness will make you give it time.
Yeah.
Like it's one of the time being the currency that you have to spend prophylactically or eventually become encumbered by the potential of illness and disease, and then you are going to deal with it. Okay, one more very interesting little bit of data. There have been a total of 29 studies, more than, and climbing by the way, on more than 50,000 patients in 16 countries throughout the world and climbing using zinc for COVID-19 patients. In summation, the studies show statistically significant improvements for hospitalization, ventilation, and death outcomes. Now, Daniel, we could go into ionic zinc forms. We could go into, you know, these goofy fruit-flavored lozenges that you buy at big box stores. You know, if a person wanted a good quality zinc, it's like anything else. There's zinc that competes with copper.
Yeah.
Like zinc citrate, a lot of that competes with copper in the small intestines. So there are forms of zinc that literally just confuse and compete with digestion, and your body ends up just washing its hand of it. You waste most of it, and it's a burden to digestion. But Daniel,
on your point there, not all zincs are equal. They do not operate the same in the body. So we would want to generally avoid a zinc citrate, for example. Right. And what we would personally recommend is a zinc sulfate heptahydrate, which is a form that's bonded at a level to make it much more assimilable by the body and to not confuse its action with, say, like a copper, as you were discussing earlier.
So you're starting to see some of the what you can do in terms of active viral infection to mitigate the overwhelming number of spike proteins that are outpacing your immune system to help support those healthy cells, their laser-focused job to break down viral replication and support the immune system, right? And in doing something just like zinc, you're blunting the tip of that spear, maybe mitigating it, maybe even softening it to the point where the spear just dissipates. Does this make sense?
Yeah. Absolutely.
So there is a direct causation between healthy levels of zinc and disease outcomes. I want to move on, though, very quickly because we are about out of time. And I want to address something that we opened the program with, and that was about cytokine storms and then, of course, their relationship to microclotting. Mm-hmm. Now, I promise, Daniel, I've got a whole list of ways that a person could fight both of those fronts and to help mitigate and all of the side effects in post. But I chose one in particular because of its all-terrain application. And it happens to be one that I don't think a lot of people are familiar with. But it's one of those in my personal war chest at home, like
yeah,
zinc.
Absolutely.
And by the way, really quickly, before we move on from zinc, Eden's Essentials has a really good zinc sulfate heptahydrate, like Daniel was talking about. We believe in the efficacy of it, and it's what I take personally when I've got some severe... Yeah, when I'm dealing with something like, okay, the wife may have XYZ virus, I may be coming down with XYZ virus. It's one of the ones in my war chest. So ladies and gentlemen, to kind of recap, walk around with nutritional stores of things like zinc, healthy levels of zinc in your body. Don't wait to react to a viral overload. Walk around with plenty of D in your system. Mm-hmm. If you can't get enough sunlight, find a way to supplement that as well. Yeah. We have that at Eden's. Mushrooms, beets, there's so many things that you can do to keep those nutritional reserves, to keep your digestive tract where 80% of your immune system resides healthy and thriving. But in addition, wanted to just present you with just two of what I think are very important arrows in the quiver in zinc and natokinase for consideration when you're dealing with something like A, confronting a heavy viral overload that may have some of the potentials to lead to things like cytokine storms, spike proteins, microclotting, so that you can blunt the tip of that spear, that you can turn down the volume on that hurricane before it arrives, during, and maybe help it dissipate much quicker. And in doing so, you stand a very good chance at mitigating its overall capacity to get in there and take runaway in terms of its violent side effects. Yeah. And now you're dealing with all of the residues, et cetera. Yeah. And again, we didn't have time to touch on all of this today. There's so much science I had to just skip on. But to the question earlier, you know, how long do these spike proteins last in my body? Is there a way to go back retroactively and deal with cleanup? And again, natokinase, things like zinc, mushrooms, beets, these are the best ways that you can go back and clean up the bloodstream, get them out of your body so that they're not doing micro damage in the following months of a viral infection like something like COVID, and hopefully reducing, if not completely eliminating, your possibilities of having to deal with something like long COVID. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today as we took just a snapshot look at long COVID, what it is, how to mitigate it, how to recover from it. Daniel, thanks for being here, brother.
Yeah, thank you, brother. I really, really appreciate it.
Until next time, I'm Joe Artis Horn. Keep your eyes on the prize, which is Jesus Christ. We will be back. Ladies and gentlemen, we're all out of time today, but I promise we will continue this special two-part series next week. You're already beginning to see the importance of just how one trace mineral like zinc can be a major player in viral defense overall. And next week, we're going to discuss how COVID-related blood clots have emerged as a massive potential risk of the virus and what you can do to help mitigate your personal risks. See you next week, right here on SkyWatch TV.